With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
Welcome to episode number 483 of the Puckle Podcast. In case you're wondering, Puckle stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, which is a peculiar name our friend Thatch came up with when he was a wee little lad in high school. We've been around for a very long time. I am your current host, the Fluffiest Whimsicott. Don't worry, Thatch will be back soon. He has a sinus infection. He has not been paralyzed by a Galvantula, and if you got that reference, you've also been here for a very long time.
I did not go back and listen to those episodes, so I don't know what that is in reference to.
Oh. It's okay. It was a good time. But as you could hear, I am joined today by the man, the myth, the legend, the one who joins Roman and Greek letters in his name, R Sigma.
Hello.
And the other man, the myth, the legend, the one whose name is spelled exactly correctly, just the way it is, Cloud9.
Hello!
I love to have you here, guys. So, in this podcast, we talk about everything Pokemon, usually more so the video games, but we touch on the trading card games, the spin-off games, the anime, the movies, absolutely anything we can get our greedy little hands on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time, and I hope you guys are going to have a good time listening too. And I'm going to ask my friends what they've been up to lately, especially regarding Pokemon, but not only. Sigma, go.
I've been camping the Pokemon Center website.
Oh.
For what?
There's a Cradilly plush that hasn't released yet, and I'm waiting
Ooh.
For it. I'm waiting
yes,
for it.
That's very important.
Because there is no schedule on when those stupid things release, so like every day around release time, I'm like, okay, is it here today? There's been a lot of cool things going up there, though. There's some double Pikachu plushes with like the regional character or the main character's default clothing on. And those are pretty cool. And they're up for pre-sale, so they don't sell out right away.
Oh.
Yeah, they throw them up for pre-sale right now, and they're like, it'll ship in June. It's like, oh, so you're just letting everyone who wants that get it. I like that.
Yeah.
That's much better than yesterday when they put out the Shining Fates set of boxes, and it shut down the website because so many people were trying to buy them, and the website died.
Yeah, that's been a big hype now. It's like, even still, I'm surprised how long, like, opening packs of Pokemon cards has gotten. I thought it would die down after, like, a month or two, but it's still around, and it's still, like, pretty hype.
It's dumb.
Well, I mean, what else do people have to do these days? Mm-hmm. So.
Fair point.
Yeah.
I think I might have gotten a couple of those, so I'm happy about that.
Oh, good for you.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
What about you, Claude?
So, I mean, I'm involved with PDL.
Mm-hmm.
We have hit, this past week was week seven. No, eight. Seven. It was seven, so we're basically like halfway through our season. It's going really well. A lot of people seem to be really enjoying it. Besides that, there's the Poke of the Episode streams, first Thursday of the month for the time being.
Of course.
I'll plug the other one later. Other than that, like, I'm really excited because I found a recipe for, like, low-fat Alfredo sauce that I'm going to try and make today.
I'm trying not to take personal offense to that, but
why?
Okay.
Why are you taking personal offense to that?
No, I'm just making a joke about the fact that it's not an Italian dish at all.
It's not?
No, it's not. It was made up in the States.
Well, good thing I'm from the States, and...
Exactly.
I can enjoy my nice fettuccine Alfredo.
I think I am contractually obligated as an Italian to protest whenever some fake Italian food is brought up.
Now, if it's made by an Italian, is it still fake?
Good question. It's real Italian food made on a fake Italian recipe.
Yes.
But...
Oh, it's real Italian food with a fake sauce. That's really what it is.
Well, depends on where the pasta is from. Like, the pickings were very slim the one time I tried to buy pasta in a U.S. supermarket. But...
See, I'm going purposely going to, like, the fancy rest, like, the fancy, like, marketplace nearby where I can get all the fancy cheeses that are imported from around the world and...
That will work.
Try and make it a little better.
That will work because... Well, cheese is a difficult thing.
Oh yeah, I have to scour the marketplace. That's what I love about my marketplaces. There's like a whole section that's like three walls of cheese. It's delicious. I'm excited.
That sounds interesting. Yeah.
I will send you a picture.
Yes, please.
Lots of cheese.
And as for myself, apart from eating real Italian food, I don't know if that counts if it's frozen. But I've been doing the community day today with Fletchling, all from the safety of my couch. Don't worry.
It's really easy to do that right now.
Yeah, it's really easy. I got one single shiny out of maybe, I think, more than 3 dozen Fletchlings. So I understand that that's pretty much the rate they go at.
That's what I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm still a bit disappointed.
Like 1 in 40 or something like that for community or something like that.
I mean, it's fair, but...
I think that's a fair rate.
Yeah. I don't know. I just wanted at least 2 because I actually like Shiny Talonflame.
Mm.
But then today I saw Shiny Fletchling and it's the exact color of peach-flavored ice cream. And it's so cute. I just wanted both of them.
That's great.
Yeah.
I got an accidental shiny Talonflame way back in XY, so.
Ooh.
It was not hidden ability, but now it could be good, so yay.
Yeah, now it can be good. That's a great thing about Gen 8. Now, suddenly all of our old useless shinies have a chance to, shine, pardon the pun.
Well, it's more because of heavy duty boots.
No, it's because of the ability patch. Yeah. It lets them have hidden ability. Like, I have a Bunnelby too. That was hidden ability, but shiny. It's like, oh, I can fix that.
Yeah. My first random shiny was actually a Vanipede in Gen 8. And I was like, oh, well, it's not hidden ability, but a couple of months later, now it's usable. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no, I have spare Scorbunny and Grookey that are shiny. So I could fix those, but I already have the shiny hidden ability one. So I could fix them. I don't need to.
Yeah, you don't need to. Might as well keep them that way.
The Grookey was an accident. I was just breeding Grookeys to, like, Wonder Trade.
Ooh.
And one popped out. It's like, ooh, hello.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's
that was
nice.
Super
happy accident.
The game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that happened with Sobble for me. I was just breeding for a competitive one. I got several that were not hidden ability. Then I got one with the hidden ability. And I started breeding that one for a competitive hidden ability one. And I just got a shiny. So that was fun. And I really love Inteleon's shiny too. But this is turning into the Shiny Pokemon podcast. I think we can actually stop here and move on to something more substantial, like our news.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. For once, there isn't like 7 billion Pokemon Go items in this one, so hopefully this is gonna go quickly. First off, in general news, there's going to be a 4th batch of Pokemon Journeys episodes released, and actually they're already available to watch on Netflix. Awesome.
They're the good ones, too.
Oh.
Is this the end of Journeys, or is there still one more after this?
I believe they changed the series name for the next one, or something along those lines. But this is the one where they battle with, like, Zacian Zamazenta against Eternatus, so.
But they're still going to have, like, Go and all the other
characters, Yeah. Right? No.
Okay, cool.
They just like to change it every year worth of episodes, so.
Good.
I think I recently found out that one of my, like, favorite bands does the Journeys theme song.
Ooh. Oh.
It's Walk Off the Earth. And I was so excited when I heard it. I'm like, I know these people. This sounds familiar.
It's amazing. I love that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay, so next piece of news. There's been another shift in the max raid battles in the wild area. And for the month of March, they're going to be promoting Steel and Fairy type Pokemon. It's the month of Zacian, apparently. And then, speaking of raid battles, we were not able to defeat all the Pikachus they wanted us to, but we defeated like 87% of the goal. So instead of giving us 100 Dynite ore and 100 Armorite ore, we only get 87 of each. Only, I said, as if that was a small number. You can go into the mystery gift option in your game and get them.
That's good enough.
Yeah, that is good enough.
It's more than you'll ever need.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't remember the last time I actually, like, did a real Dynamax raid. I feel like I just go on now to play, like, ranked and stuff.
Dynoid ore is nice for hidden ability capsules, that's about it.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
All right, going on to video game news, they've announced the next little tournament thing they like to do over a weekend, and it is the Spike Myth Cup. Restricted legends are banned, and also everything that's not in one of the Galar dexes is banned, so like no Incineroar.
Mm.
Dynamax, also not a thing, so that's cool.
That's super interesting.
Is this singles or doubles?
It's singles, and also because the Galarian forms are available, I believe you're allowed to use like Zapdos still, which is dumb. It was still the best thing when Dynamax was a thing. I think it'll still be good when it's not.
Yeah.
Is it three? Is it still like picks? It's like Battle Spot singles.
It's Spring Six. It's singles without Dynamax or the additional legends, essentially. So no Entei. Very sad. But
no Landorus.
Yep. I mean, that's a good thing, I suppose. That, yeah. Except for the fact that makes Zapdos better.
Zapdos, yep. Mimikyu are the two I think they're going to just reign supreme.
Yeah.
That said, since there is no Dynamax, it's kind of like OU, so things like Darmanitan could be stupid good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Galarian Darmanitan.
Or Sandrush Vish, I've heard people talk about, too.
Mm. Yeah.
Or just sand in general with Vish or Excadrill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's scary. Especially since you don't have the easy weather changing. But anyways, the registration is open until March 18th, and the event will run from the 19th to the 21st, and you get the classic 50 battle points for participating. And the new season of Ranked has begun. It's the same as the last season. Legends are allowed one per team.
All right, and now for everyone's favorite section, the Pokemon Go speed news. So, here we go. The Searching for Legends event has been announced and will run March 9th through March 15th. Various ground and steel types with Shiny Nosepass, who is neither, will be introduced during the event. I don't know why they're introducing Shiny Nosepass, but, you know, sure.
They had a lore excuse that you were, like, searching for legends and Nosepass is pointing the way to the... I thought it was stupid.
His nose is the compass, I guess. Yeah. That kind of works, and he evolves into a steel type. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but various steel and ground type Pokemon will hatch from your 5K eggs. Various 1- and 3-star raids will also include ground- and steel-type Pokemon. Ferroseed is notable for 1-stars for people trying to get more of him. And there'll be a special timed research for the event. Gible is also the breakthrough research encounter for March. So,
yay,
do your breakthrough researches. That's a good one.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, we are too late to tell you not to do that on the first of the month, like Whimsicott did, because it only rolls over at a certain time on the Pacific coast. So I did it too early. So
yeah, I accidentally claimed it on the 28th, but I was able to leave it sitting there and claim it after the thing started, or after it changed, and I got the Gible, and I was super happy.
Oh, good.
As part of the celebration of Pokemon Go's 5th anniversary, Pokemon TCG will be releasing a Professor Willow card later this year, expected around May.
Yeah. Hmm.
And then in Puckle news, if you guys are around March 11th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm hosting our monthly Trivia Night on the Twitch. It's a fun time. Come out, test your trivia knowledge against some of the toughest trivia that myself, McGee, and Lager can come up with.
Woo.
It's always fun.
I'm so sad that it's in the evening. Like, one time I really wish I could be there. But
yeah, I'm if there's another time, we can always do it on a Saturday or Sunday that works best for everyone else. But with listeners from around the world, someone's going to be upset every time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's Europeans. And it's fine. I'm okay with that.
Well, it's the Europeans or Aussians or someone gets upset. So we'll find another time to do one for everyone else. We might have to do it like an early morning one at some point.
I'm sure all of our friends in Europe and the UK will appreciate it. Also, it's very sad that I had to say Europe and the UK. But
yeah, Europe, UK. Don't forget Aussies, because I know we have a whole bunch of listeners from Australia.
Oh, I mean, we are incompatible.
The nighttime works for them, kind of.
We are all incompatible. It's fine.
Exactly.
If that means I have to wake up at like 2 or 3 in the morning to host a trivia night, I will do
no,
it.
No, please don't. Please don't.
I would do it in a heartbeat. That sounds like so much fun. Or just stay up super late is the real answer.
Why can't Liger do it? He's already there.
Shh. Don't ruin this.
Okay, fine. I'll let you keep your little fantasy.
Thank you. I like my fantasies.
Speaking of trivia, it is now time for us to move on to Puckle's famed Poke Quiz, where I am going to quiz my fellow co-host on their absolutely wildly insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Oh, hi to you too, Mark, and thank you for reading us the rather convoluted rules of our little quiz game. Now, if you guys are ready, we can start right off with question number 1.
Sure.
All right.
So, this question comes from Spike, and they want to know which type managed to maintain the same number of overall Pokemon belonging to that type while a generation transition happened.
What? I'm sorry, I'm just a little confused.
So we went from one gen to another gen, and the same number of Pokemon still had that same type.
Exactly.
So, do you want the cheating answer of between Gen 1 and 2, the same number of fairies exist?
Yeah, but that's the same for like 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5.
I know, I'm just...
It's very cheaty.
No, it's not.
So when they say the same number from one gen to another, do they mean like the same number were introduced?
No.
No, as in nothing was introduced, I believe, right?
Okay, so the question works this way. If you count off, say, the number of, I don't know, fire types in Generation 1, and then it rolls over to Gen 2, and with the Gen 2 dex, you count off how many fire types there are, the answer would be the same. Now, this is obviously not true for fire types between generations 1 and 2. But it is true for another type with another generation shift. What is that type?
So, do Megas count?
I don't think so.
So this has to be a later generation?
I'm thinking...
It has to be either 4 to 5?
I'm thinking 5 to 6, because Fairy took some Pokemon away.
Yeah, I'm saying it either has to be 4 to 5, because the dex in Gen 5 is just, like, it's just the new Pokemon.
Oh, no, I mean in the national dex.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's 5 to 6, and there were enough Pokemon in, say, normal type that got the fairy type, that the new normal types replaced
the normal types
that were gone, is my guess.
Okay.
Something like
that. Now I understand the question, and it has to be fairy.
For normal. It would be normal.
So it's either normal or between Gen 1 and 2, electric.
So hear me out. Normal lost Cleffa, Clefairy, Clefable, and Azurill, right? So I think maybe Gen 6 introduced 4 new normal types between Bunnelby, or It introduced five, so there might be another normal type that we lost at some point.
Did you forget all the Igglybuffs and Wigglytuffs?
They didn't lose normal. They didn't lose normal.
Oh, they didn't lose it.
It's been a little while, so I need an answer, guys.
All right, let's go with it then.
I think normal's the only one that really... we lost Snubbull and Garambull too, so I think we're good. I think it's normal between
five and six. Yeah.
Normal is correct. You did find the catch in the question, and it was actually 8 Pokemon that lost a normal type, and 8 normal types that got introduced in Gen 6.
I think I got the count up to 6 mentally.
Yeah, like it was the Clefairy line, the Togepi line, actually.
That would be the other three.
That's the other one.
Yes.
And then Snubbull and Granbull.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Azurill, too.
Yes. Actually, Azurill is normal fairy.
Oh, it is so normal fairy.
It didn't lose it.
It didn't lose a normal type.
That's so dumb. That's so dumb.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. That one works weird.
Is it the only normal? No, it's not the only normal fairy. Wigglytuff. Who am I kidding?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Wigglytuff and Jigglypuff.
That's important later. That's important later.
Yes. So, you got 1 point for that question, and we can move on to question number 2. What Pokemon line can achieve 2 evolutions at level 1?
Oh.
Only 2? Because Eevee can achieve 3. 4.
No.
5.
5.
No. 2 consecutive evolutions.
Pokemon line can get 2 consecutive evolutions at level 1. Meaning the evolution of the Mon is still at level 1, right?
Yes.
So Porygon.
Yeah, Porygon. You trade it twice.
Porygon is correct, because they are both trade evolutions.
Yeah.
So, yes. You can still have, say, a Roserade that's level 1, but it doesn't necessarily evolve from a Bidoof. It can only be evolved from a Roselia if it's still level 1.
You can have a level 2 that evolved from a Bidoof. That was where my mind was headed, and I'm like, all right, you have to friendship, so it has to be level 2.
Exactly. So, the next question is your Pokédex entry question, as usual, as such does every time. I'm going to read off a Pokédex entry, and if you can't find the answer with that one, or I feel you are struggling, I'm going to read off a second Pokédex entry, and if you guess it from the first one, you'll get 2 points. If you guess it from the second one, you'll get 1 point. If you don't guess it at all, guess what? You get 0 points.
Alright.
This question comes from Coil Builder, and... it's the Pokemon Y dex entry for this Pokemon states. It tosses its enemies around with agility. It uses all its limbs to fight in its own unique style.
Toss its enemies around?
I'm feeling bug.
See, you're thinking bug. I'm thinking fighting.
Maybe it is fighting. Maybe it's Hitmontop.
So, can you repeat that dex entry again? I want to just...
Of course.
See if I...
It tosses its enemies around with agility. It uses all its limbs to fight in its own unique style.
Okay. I think I know what it is.
Okay, what do you think?
So, because it said it uses all of its limbs, that means it uses both its hands and its feet?
That's what I'm thinking, Hitmontop maybe, but...
Well, Hitmontop uses just its feet, doesn't use its hands very much. I was thinking Infernape.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Because I have this clear, mental image of, Gen 4 Infernape from the anime using its hands and feet and, flipping around.
Yeah, I could see a monkey. I could see it being
a monkey. My mind went to a monkey, yeah. I mean, Infernape's only, fighting monkey I can think of. But I don't know. We might need the other hint anyways.
Yeah, no. We say Infernape and see what we get.
Okay.
Infernape is actually correct. You do not need the second Pokédex entry. Good job.
Yay.
Yes.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, the other entry was from Pearl, and it said, its crown of fire is indicative of its fiery nature.
Yep.
Yeah, no, we would get... Okay.
It is beaten by none in terms of quickness. Okay, yes, it is Infernape. Good job, you guys are 4-4-3. And we are now off to our multiple answer question. This one has 7 answers. And this can only be worth 2 points, so I'm going to be a bit mean. I'm going to say that I'll give you a point for each 3 answers you can give me.
So there are 6 total, right?
There are 7 total, but the last one is only up for bragging rights.
Got it.
So this question comes from K-King, and they want to know, What were the code names for the Ultra Beasts in Sun and Moon?
Okay.
We're excluding the ones from Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon because there are 7 billion of them at that point.
Rip, okay. Needle, and Blast. Rip.
Yeah. So we have Absorption, that's Buzzwole. Beauty is Pheromosa.
That's correct.
Thunder is Zerkatry. Blade is Kartana. And that's where I kind of fall apart.
So Zerkatry is actually incorrect, the one you've stated.
Is it UB Spark?
So Thunder, it's Lightning?
It is Lightning. I'll give you that one.
In my mind, it's the same thing, but...
So you are at 4, so you get 1 point so far.
Okay.
If you can give me 2 more, you get another point.
I don't remember Nihiligo or...
Buzzwole or...
No, Buzzwole was Absorption. We got a, that.
Oh, okay. So is it Gluttony? UB Glutton?
Yes. Gluttony is... That's Zerkatry. I'm sorry, Zerkatry. Guzzlord.
Guzzlord.
So is it just Nihiligo and Celesteel? I don't remember.
Is it UB... It's not UB Rocket.
Is it like... I want to say it's like UB Blastoff, but it's
no,
not.
That's Blacephalon. That's Blacephalon.
Oh, no.
I'm going to need an answer pretty soon.
I wish they were better cards than the TCG, so...
All right. So what's a synonym for Rocket, then? We have to just go with that and hope that's it for Celesteel.
Like Burst? I don't know.
Burst? I guess.
I have nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing either.
You don't even want to try to say one for Nihiligo.
I have no idea what it could be.
Okay.
Because I know it's not like just poison or toxic or something like that. It's some obscure fancy word.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Of course it is.
Okay, so the ones you said for Celesteela were incorrect.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So you don't get the bonus point. You were very close, though. Because Celesteela is UB Blaster.
Yes. Okay.
Blast off, Blaster, same thing.
Yeah. And Nihiligo is UB Symbiont.
Mm.
Nope. So. Wasn't getting that.
No.
Yeah. I only am familiar with that word because I loved Star Trek Deep Space Nine as a kid. But that gives you 1 point for this answer. You are still on track to cash in your hint for an extra point because you did get this question correct. You just didn't get the bonus point. You are at 5 points for 4 questions so far. And we are moving on to the last question, which, as usual, is the base stat question.
Yay,
indeed. So this one is from Poliwoe. And they want to know, excluding Megas, which fairy type has the highest special attack?
Okay.
Excluding Megas?
Excluding Megas.
So it's not Mega Deoncey.
There goes the easy answer. Is it Xerneas?
Xerneas is 131, I believe.
That's the first thing that popped into my head was
with Tapu Lele directly underneath it.
With 130.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fairy type. Because I know Mega Gardevoir, I think, had the highest. And that's Mega.
Mega Gardevoir might have been better than Deoncey, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Deoncey. Regular Deoncey does not have a good
I think it's 100, attack. But even then.
Yeah. Like, it's not 131.
All right, so what fairy types?
Because there are no Ultra Beast fairy types, so that's nice. It's not Zacian.
How high is, what's it called? Yeah, it's, Gen 8.
I don't think it's Hatterene.
Okay.
Because I think it has relatively balanced defenses and a decent HP to offset its speed. And it has, like, an okay attack, I think, too.
Because I know Hatterene's up there.
Yeah.
What about Magearna?
I feel like it's 125.
Okay.
Because it has really high defenses, too, right?
Because I know Primarina is below 130.
I am going to need an answer, unless you guys want to use the hint.
What do you think, Sigma?
Do we want to use the hint?
Let's use the hint. Why not? I'd rather... get it right, then get an extra point.
Yeah.
Okay, so it has the same typing as the Mega fairy type that has the highest special attack.
So what you're saying is it's Hatterene.
All right, so Hatterene it is.
Hatterene is correct.
Glad we did that. Glad
what is it?
Yeah. It's 136, and Xerneas is 131. Tapu Lele and Magearna are both at 130.
Oh, okay.
And then Primarina is actually after that at 126.
Okay.
So that was a great job. You guys got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points today.
Cool.
Yay.
And I actually, I'm sorry, I don't have the document pulled up, but I might still be ahead. I'm sorry.
I think I'm up there.
We're not competing for points. We're competing for fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I am competing for fun as well, but apparently circumstances lined up and I got too many points. So let me just pull it up.
Next trivia cycle. I'll just make sure I'm on and I get like 4 8 points in a row. And then I can just be done.
See, the problem was that I got the rollover points.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got on like 2 episodes in a row. And...
Yeah, and then I filled in 1 week that no one showed up for the episode. So, okay, so the standings are as follows. I am still first with 25. Then R Sigma is now in second place with 18 points. Then Linian with 14. Claude, you are now tied with Seth at 12 points. Woo-hoo. Sublime follows you with 10. Pimigi and Jushiro are tied at 5 points. And Shamu and Basket still have to get on the board. So you guys are starting to catch up. I might need to be on an episode soon.
I'm not going to be on an episode till like either the very end of this month or now.
Yeah, same.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But that is all for our quiz, and we can now move on to our topic.
Yay.
Don't forget to check out the Puckle YouTube this week to catch another extended mailbag. We have a few more emails to get through, so be sure to check it out, Puckle Podcast, on YouTube. On to the topic.
And welcome to our topic, which today is going to be, are all of these new Pokemon games we're getting going to be worth it? And in order to be worth it, what should they have?
Over the course of, like, almost a year, we're going to get Snap 2, Diamond and Pearl Remakes, and, Legends. So, like,
yes.
That's, mm-hmm. And if each game is going to come at around, like, $60, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of money. And you know us, we pretty much buy everything Pokemon, but yep. Not everyone does, and that's very fair. So in order for us to feel like we've had our money's worth and our time's worth, what should these games have?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should start discussing the remake because we've essentially been waiting for this for 5 years, more mm-hmm. than 5 years from whenever mm-hmm. it is that Auras came out.
Like most people were expecting it in that Let's Go slot. And it looks like it was designed for that Let's Go slot, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. It looks like, as someone would say, the look is choices.
I don't mind it. I think it's cute.
Yeah.
I think the problem the look has is that as soon as we had a 3D engine, we just stepped away a bit from how tiny the sprites were by necessity. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's a very faithful rendition of what the tiny chibi sprite from Gen 4 would look like in 3D.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I understand what they're doing, but is it too much? Sigma was posing this question when we were discussing this topic off the air. How faithful is too faithful?
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, you're recreating the look and possibly the feel of the old game, but if you're doing so on a console that can run stuff like Breath of the Wild, the question is, should you?
Yeah, like, I understand them doing the whole, like, visual ratio of, oh, this looks just like the old game,
especially much. Being developed by someone not Game Freak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like someone's like, all right, here, play this game, recreate it in this engine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And then we'll give you the battle engine to use.
Yeah, and they have it looks like, was it Let's Go Battle Engine?
No, it's Sword and Shield, I think.
It is? All right. Either way.
It's Sword and Shield with better shadows. For some reason, that's the thing they focused on.
But, like, the question comes, what are they going to do about Fairy type? Are we going to have Fairy type?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah, because it wasn't balanced around it.
Exactly. Like, in Fire Red, Leaf Green, Magnemite is still a Steel type. You mm-hmm. can't evolve your Golbat, which is another choice and one I don't think anyone agrees with. Exactly.
So there are a couple of those, like, evolutions that, like, because that was the whole premise of Gen 4 was evolutions. There are more evolutions.
Yeah.
That's a good question, is do you think it'll be Platinum Dex, or do you think it'll go up to the National Dex, or do you think it'll have extra things? Like, those are good questions, right?
So my guess, if I had to throw a guess out there, would be basically the Diamond and Pearl. Actually, I don't even know.
So the weird thing about Platinum is apparently most Pokemon were available in Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum outside of like the starters and legendaries.
And then like, was it Tangela?
No, actually Tangela was in Platinum.
Oh, cool.
Platinum fixed a lot of the problems.
Yeah.
It allowed you to get the Pokemon that could evolve, like the Game Boy inserts and whatnot. Well,
that brings the other question of fire types in Sinnoh. There are no fire types.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they will fix that.
How are they
going to
release a game without Charizard?
Well. Mm-hmm. Well. That's another thing altogether. So there's two things that I think are very interesting to think about. First of all, will you be able to evolve Eevee into Sylveon?
Yeah. Like, that goes with the fairy type.
It goes with the fairy type, but it also has a value that is affection and not friendship that it wasn't in Gen 4. And Gen 4 has no mechanic for it.
Sword and Shield changed it. Affection and happiness are the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Gen 8 changed it. So it's not the biggest deal in the world.
Okay. And the other one is, will the Pokemon that are in Home be able to be transferred into Diamond and Pearl at some point, or will you get Sword and Shield to Electric Boogaloo?
I think that all depends on what they do, like, battle-wise. I think, like, this remake is just going to be a remake with some other things. Mm-hmm. I think they could add, like, a battle tower or, like, some sort of frontier like they did and then Platinum before, where it's, all right, here's a little bit of post-game that you can play with. However, I do think Sword and Shield is their main, like, engine as far as competitive is concerned.
I agree.
And there'll either be another patch or something that...
to allow for Diamond and Pearl Pokemon to leave and not come back. It'll be like... I could see it being like Let's Go, where you can't bring Pokemon into it, but you can take Pokemon out of it.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know. Like, that's for sure. Because the Diamond and Pearl decks, like, they're not going to have all, like, what's it, 493 at that time?
Yeah.
No. It would at most, it's like a 450 number if you take out all the starters and legends that aren't in those games.
But, like, I think they'll allow you to have them all. I think they might let you transfer those in there. I just don't think you'll get anything beyond Gen 4.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about.
But it's weird because some of the things that could theoretically exist in Gen 4 but are not in the Platinum decks are not in the Sword and Shield decks but could theoretically exist in Gen 4 if you brought them up from previous generations.
Yeah, but that's only the starters, though.
Yeah.
That's literally just the Gen 2 starters.
Because if you look at what they did with Fire Red and Leaf Green, like, you had the new types of Dark and Steel. They adjusted a lot of that for the different mons that you could face, at least with Magnemite. You just couldn't evolve a couple of things. The only evolve that we would be missing is Sylveon.
Yeah. Well, didn't they give, was it Fire Red and Leaf Green where they gave Charmander Metal Claw to
exactly.
Up so it could handle Brock? Because
to see what other fairy types they bring in. But, like, that just comparing the two games. There are still other things they could do, like, to the games themselves that could make it worth it.
Yeah.
Because I'm really, like, my favorite part of Gen 4 was the underground.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really excited to see what they do with this. Because if it's the same, like, all right, you get to create your own secret base area, and then you get to go basically play Capture the Flag with your friends.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I remember my friends and I, we used to just sit and try and, like, set up traps for people to, like, get through to get the flags.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I remember fondly was, all right, we'd all, like, jump into the underground and see who could be the first person to find a fossil. And we would just be sitting in a room together, just all on our DSs, trying to, like, tap away and find the right fossil.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really do that. I didn't really have people to play with. So I did spend all my time in the underground just digging for stuff. Just because the minigame was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think on, like, the Switch, they could do more with it. That's what my hope and dream is. And I miss the Poketch. I like the Poketch a lot.
I'm just hoping that Wi-Fi is a thing.
That better be. It was present in the original games.
Well, no, Wi-Fi Underground. Wi-Fi Underground.
Yeah.
Because in the original games, it was locked to local. Which is sad.
Because that would be cool to be, like, with people around the world, and we can, like, have Puckle Underground Nights.
Oh.
The Pokemon Underground Champions League. Yeah.
It's real.
Maybe. Hopefully.
I mean, that would be amazing, honestly.
Because the other big part of Diamond and Pearl in my mind is the fact they had a GTS in the game.
Yes.
I wonder, is that going to still be there? You can be able to trade with other people from those games.
Hmm.
Like, there's the idea of they could bring out Megas all of a sudden as a way to lure people in. Think of all of the Gen 4 had, I think, probably the most event Pokemon out there.
Oh, gosh. They had so many.
Because I think someone saw in one of the trailers that one of the characters that lets you get Shaymin was there in, like, Floroma Town.
Yes.
So does that mean there's a possibility we could get all these extra events that are just in the game? That give you something to do, like get Shaymin, Cresselia, Darkrai.
So last week, Dash and the others said we'll probably get Darkrai the way that we got Deoxys in the Delta episode, and I tend to agree, but I'd prefer to get Shaymin, to be honest.
I feel like you could do both. Manaphy is the one I'm curious about, because they even skipped Manaphy and Go.
Oh, yeah.
They skipped over Manaphy for Victini right away.
So hopefully
they have some kind of plan for Manaphy.
Yeah. I mean, Pokemon Go has a big thing around eggs. Manaphy originally came from an egg, so they might be planning some weird event, but since it's weird, they might not have found a way to code it yet. That's very common with Niantic.
Palpark is another interesting thing that they can do stuff with. Like, do you just remove it?
I don't know.
In the Great Marsh.
Yeah.
Great Marsh can just be the same.
It could be the same, but like, you could do so much more with it.
It could, but at this point, I'm thinking maybe since it's not Game Freak, they will not have
push too hard.
Dared to stray too far.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's safe.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, Game Freak is going, is going wild with Legends of Arceus. Oh, Legends, Arceus. That's a stupid title. But I don't know. Like, that one, for me, is a bit weird because the trailer made it seem so empty. And like many other people, I find myself thinking, well, it doesn't look like there's much to this game, but it's also like over a year away, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a teaser, what they gave us. It's one of those things where as we get more information, we'll know more. And like, I really can't form an opinion on it yet because there's just so much.
What should it have for you two specifically to make you say, yes, this was absolutely worth the $60 I spent on it?
So the goal is the Pokedex, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if, like, the game's boss battles were legendaries? You're the one who's sealing away Regigigas and Snow Points.
Oh.
Something like that.
So kind of like Mystery Dungeon bosses?
Kind of like Mystery Dungeon bosses. Like, those are your bosses in the game. You're the one who puts the Mesprit, Uxie, and Azelf to sleep.
That's
like that.
Fascinating.
That would almost be like you are the evil person then.
Well,
like that's the progression.
You do have a Team Galactic patch, proto patch on your sleeve.
Well, maybe Team Galactic wasn't bad to begin with.
Yeah, it was just Cyrus who gained the power in the organization that ended up bad.
Wow.
I think the thing that will keep me interested is if beyond the main storyline, there are like actual side quests to go and do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping, like, imagine Spiritomb being a side quest.
Oh,
like,
exactly.
The spirits to create a Spiritomb.
Oh, wow. That sounds
Proto-Rotom, that could be fun.
That would be, that's a thing I'd like to see because it really can't be anything like the one we have now. It's, like, over 100 years ago, so no electronics.
I know there's different rumors going around about, like, are you only going to be able to have 6 Pokemon and only 6 Pokemon for the entire game?
Because there is no PC. Right.
So do you have to, like, choose what you're using? Granted, you're also, like, in a realm where your starters are different.
Wow.
I could see it being a weird, like, you can carry 6 on you because that's what's comfortable, but you have, like, access to all of them in your backpack or something like that. It's like the mobile PC in Let's Go or something like that.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Maybe. It's weird to think about a game that is not supposed to have any modern commodity because it's actually set so far into the past. But at the same time, players are so used to the modern commodities that if you give them a game without them, they might dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it needs to have like elements of other games then in it. Like, I would love to see a bunch of, like, mini games or, like, other little things that you have to do. Like, I would love to see a scene where you are being chased by, like, a horde of, I don't know, Tauros or some other Pokemon. Yeah. And you basically are running away from them, and you just have to run away. And that's the whole objective of this little mission, is just to run away from these things.
Mm-hmm. These things are too strong for you.
Yeah. I think of, like, the Crash Bandicoot, like, boulder chase. Where that was the whole thing, is you're running away from a boulder to get to the exit. Like, little things like that just add other elements to the game. Or where it's, like, you have to, like, correctly put, like, different lily pads together in, like, a puzzle. So that way you can hop across the Great Marsh or something. And who knows if the Great Marsh will even be there.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm thinking, like, the puzzle elements of Zelda, but now adding that into Pokemon.
For me, the main thing is, it's going to be about catching the Pokemon, but if that's, like, 90% of what you do, then it's just let's go all over again.
That's why I think you want, like, the big bosses of each.
Yeah.
Of, like, if you do a chapter structure, you make the big bosses the legendaries. Maybe Heatran will finally be a relevant Pokemon.
Oh.
maybe it'll have a story. I don't know what Heatran's story is.
What would actually be cool, now that you mention Heatran, is, so you're out there essentially doing a catalog of all the Pokemon that are about, but what if at several points in the story, the town that you're using as your home base has a specific need, and you need to go out there and find the Pokemon that will fix the problem for the town.
I laughed at an idea I had where it's like there are Charmanders and you have to spread the Charmanders to the different towns that exist.
Yeah.
And make everyone love Charmander.
But I like that idea, Whimsicott, of like almost like Pokemon Ranger-esque where you have to catch something to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we need muscles, so go catch us fighting types to help with this.
Yeah. I thought of it because you mentioned Heatran, and, well, Sinnoh is based on a cold region, so... Mm-hmm. And there's
with
no fire
volcano.
Types. I mean, it has a volcano in the middle, but the rest of it is cold.
I mean, Coronet's not even a volcano. The volcano is Mount Stark all the way on its own little land base.
Yeah true.
But, like, that's the fun part is, like, that I'm really looking forward to is learning the lore of Sinnoh. Because Sinnoh's always been my favorite region, and I'm just excited to learn more about the history behind it and what other possibilities are going to be there. But yeah, I don't think we can talk about... So, but I do want to ask this question. What starter would you be picking?
Rowlet.
Cyndaquil.
I was going to go Cyndaquil as well. I love Cyndaquil.
I always pick it in Gen 2.
Yeah, it's my go-to as well. Oh, I can't say that. I like Bayleaf, but I like Cyndaquil a lot.
I picked Cyndaquil the first time I played through Gen 2, and then I always picked Chikorita because by the time I played again, my love for grass types had just solidified.
Let's see. I also always pick Oshawott in Gen 5, but that's because of the necessity of having a Pokemon with Surf. So,
yeah, because you don't get one until like late in that game.
But I've seen Piplup in the trailer, so...
It's going to be interesting. Like, I wonder if we're going to have like almost like... the, like, riding mechanics, where you can ride on Pokemon again. Because that seems like something that would be there, where it's like, oh, cool, you can catch this Luxray, and suddenly you can ride the Luxray around.
I guess going back to the remakes, hopefully they fix 8 gems. That's something
yes,
that needs to be
Yes, that's
there.
Important. But going back to riding Pokemon, there's a supposed leak that apparently came with the actual leak of the trailer for Legends Arceus. It seems that in that one, the character is riding a Pokemon, but it's not possible to identify the Pokemon from that image.
Like, you can kind of see it. It's just not a Pokemon we know. So it might be a stand-in.
Yeah, it might be, because it looks vaguely like a Saucebuck, like a spring Saucebuck, but the back of it doesn't match the Saucebuck.
Yeah, it's more pale.
People are even saying there could even be new Pokemon.
Yeah,
that are,
things that went extinct in the
exactly.
time period
yeah.
that aren't fossils.
That would be amazing. Like, if we... The problem is, everyone is thinking that this game is set several centuries in the past. There's a very interesting YouTube channel, Lost in Luxin and Noggin, and they worked out that it's probably actually set, like, in the second half of the 19th century. Like, probably, like, the 1880s, 1890s, maybe. Give some very good historical reasons for that. It works out pretty well.
So instead of it being like hundreds and hundreds of years, it's more like 100 to 200 years.
It's like a century or two.
Yeah, like 130 years in the past, 140, maybe 50. So it's not that far back that you would have, like, that you would find, like, the original forms of the fossil Pokemon.
No, no. You would find recently extinct Pokemon that exactly. wouldn't have fossils yet.
But nothing like, oh, you know, the original form of Bastion or whatever.
Yeah, no.
That's not going to happen.
No, please no.
Which, I mean, it would have been interesting. Who knows? It's just, I don't see that happening because of the time frame.
Mm-hmm. I don't expect current fossils to be found.
No.
No, no.
Well, I mean, maybe because they're just randomly in the wild in Crown Tundra. Like, I guess they could have those guys wandering.
I guess. Like, it'd be cool to see, like, a Rampardos or a Bastiodon, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's a whole underground as well that we get to explore.
Ooh.
Probably not, but...
Probably not, yes. Simply for the reason that I don't see them, like, giving us an underground of a region that's known for having an underground that is not the underground that you already know.
You're the one who gets to... You start the underground. That's what it is.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think a lot of it's going to focus, though, on Mount Cornet. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, it is very prominent in this trailer.
Well, that's where all the legends are based around, because Mount Cornet was created first, isn't it? Or something like that.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. See, you're talking about Sinnoh, and I just don't remember anything about Sinnoh. So I can't help you there. Sorry. When you said before, Claude, that... You're excited about finding out the history of Sinnoh because you love Sinnoh so much. Sinnoh is possibly my least favorite region and the one I am the least interested about. But
I mean,
I'm still excited about this game because it's a new kind of game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm excited because it's new and it's fresh.
Yeah.
I guess the only other thing then that's left to talk about is Snap. Snap 2.
Snap has my love simply because it has Minior.
So, if it's the same Pokemon Snap as it was that we originally know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's worth a full $60. And I might be the only crazy person out there saying that.
No, I agree.
I'm waiting for a discount. I'm not buying it alone.
Because, like, if it's just taking pictures of Pokemon, like, yes, it looks great, looks very pretty, but if that's it...
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I'm not it paying $60.
Feel like a
it's like an interactive version of the Glimwood Tangle stream. No, thank you.
It's a rail shooter.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to wait till it drops to like 50, 45 to pick it up.
Yeah, 45 sounds fair.
Yeah. There needs to be something else with it besides just taking pictures. And like, because it seems like, oh, cool, you can do pictures. And then you can like Photoshop your pictures.
Yeah, I mean,
great.
that was like an entire feature that was attached to a whole Pokemon game in Gen 7. So it's not worth the full price, you know?
No.
Like, it's one of those things where if someone streams it, oh, sure, I'll watch it and I'll get the entire satisfaction out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can totally see them being like, oh, cool, we're going to tie something into this and... If you have both save files of that and Sword and Shield, you get this Pokemon.
Mm.
Even that, I'm
it
not
sounds
even sure.
like something they would do, and it's very sad. I was thinking they could put some mini games in it, but they probably won't. They'll do what you said, and it's gonna be sad.
Yeah, like I guess to make it worth it is I would need to like there needs to be something else besides just taking pictures. Like, if there was, like, a Wi-Fi or, like, an online, like, all right, you both are on the same track. Who can, like, snap more Pokemon?
Who can make the most points?
Mm.
Yeah. Or who can get the best Pokemon or, like, the best, like, picture based off of their, like, rating scale. That adds at least a competitive element to it. Because right now it seems like it's just take pictures. Good job.
You know what they should have done? They should have had a co-op mode. Where, like, one of you snaps the picture and the other one, like, throws the Lumina orbs or steers the thingy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That would have been amazing. But, yeah, I don't think that's going to be there. They haven't announced it, so.
Or going off what Claude said, it's like, here are three Pokemon that you will be graded on against the other people in this.
Yeah.
Get pictures of them.
Yeah. Because, like, that's the only way I can see it being worth the $60 is, all right, cool. There's now an online, like, competitive. You all are on a random track that's, like, Pokemon around it always vary. And then you just take pictures. Whoever has the greatest picture wins that, gets points. Points go towards something, I don't know. Like, upgrading your cart or upgrading your camera or...
You get
but
new
even then,
stickers.
It's just like, yeah. I'm missing the element that wants to keep it involved.
Yeah, it's like, maybe it's not going to be 4 hours like the original one. Maybe it's going to be 12, but it's still a 12-hour rail shooter for $60. That's a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm still going to buy it. I don't know if I'm going to like wait for a discount like you, Sigma, simply because I'm probably going to want it digital, and they almost never have discounts on digital.
Yeah, you're in Europe. You can still get the vouchers.
I see. When you talked about that, I don't know what they are. I'm going to look into it.
You on the shop page, you go to the Nintendo Online section, and it's like, here, you can buy two. You buy a voucher for like $100, or you buy two vouchers for $100, so you get two games for $100.
Oh. Okay, I'll look into
that.
That's
what it is.
That's interesting. Thank you.
Like, if that was around, I probably would get Snap at launch. But it's really good if you go digital.
Yeah. I mean, I was a fan of carts, and now that the save is on the console and not on the cart, it just doesn't make sense anymore. Like, I find myself going, ooh, I really want to play this game, and then but it's on a cart, and it's not the cart I have in the system right now. That's too much of a hassle. I'll just play something else.
Yeah, no. 90% of my games are on download. Like, I have Breath of the Wild because I bought it at launch, and one other game because it was super cheap.
Yeah, I've been lazy with since COVID. I've moved everything digital just because it's easier.
It's
I like
so
having physical
easier.
Copies.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for, like, Amazon shipping being so slow, I would be getting more things digital. I mean, physical.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I've bought physical lately is Ring Fit Adventure, because, like, you need it physical
because you have the thingy. But it makes it better for, at least you don't have to be like, well, now I have to change carts to put it in.
Exactly. I'm not used to it anymore, so it seems like it's too much work. I used to do it all the time on the 3DS. I've gotten lazy.
Right.
Well, I think we can lock down this topic, and I think we can conclude that we are going to buy those games, and we're crossing our fingers that we are satisfied with them. I think we're probably going to be. I mean, it's Pokemon games. We love Pokemon games. It's just put some sprinkles on top, guys. We want the sprinkles.
Yeah. You don't just want plain vanilla ice cream.
Exactly. I love vanilla ice cream, but it needs some sprinkles or some fudge. Or some whipped cream. Something.
Butterscotch. Let's go.
Yum.
Butterscotch. There we go.
Yummy. Well, I think we can float away on our dreamy butterscotch thoughts and move on to the Pokemon of the episode.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. The Pokemon of the episode today is National Dex number 39, Jigglypuff, the balloon Pokemon.
Its Fire Red Pokedex entry states, it captivates foes with its huge round eyes, then lulls them to sleep by singing a soothing melody.
Yes. Give me 1 second and I will give you the Pokemon song entry.
What? Oh no.
Oh. Yes, if you didn't know, there's a song all about Jigglypuff made by Pokemon.
Well, there's also a song about Slowpoke and one about Mimikyu. Should we sing all of them?
We should have sung them. Fence curl, think again. Power punch, you'll never win. Double slap, that's nothing new. Double edge, you're bound to lose. Body slam, disable the real powers in the song. Yeah.
Thatch would never have let you do that. You're lucky I'm here today.
Thatch would have let me do it. He wouldn't have had a choice. I would have just started singing and he would have let it happen.
Maybe.
Love you, Thatch.
Maybe. Anyway, Jigglypuff has a very good HP stat and then absolutely nothing else. absolutely nothing else. Its HP is 115, which is great, honestly. And then
it's phenomenal.
An attack and a special attack of 45, which, you know, if it was a defensive Pokemon...
Sounds bad until you get to the rest of the stats.
Exactly.
Do you think those are the next two highest stats?
But its defense is 20, its special defense is 25, and its speed is 20. And you may be wondering, guys, what could have possibly possessed you to make this the Pokemon of the episode? And the reason is this VGC team.
Yes. In the land of Series 8, where everything is unrestricted, a hidden gem has emerged. The most unrestricted mod of Jigglypuff shines here today. And I only say that because McGee and I tested out this team and had a flawless time. Check out the Poke of the Episode video when it comes out because we have a blast with it.
I can't wait. It's going to be hilarious. Anyway, the true star of the team, Jigglypuff herself, is holding a focus sesh because, well, we've listed off its defenses, quote-unquote.
Ebiolite wasn't going to help it.
No. It needs the focus sash.
Oh, it does.
It has the ability Friend Guard. It has 4 defense EVs because why not? We didn't know where else to put them.
It's not attacking.
It doesn't have an attacking move at all.
Exactly. It has 252 special defense and 252 speed, and I'm really curious to know what that lets it outspeed.
Probably a Moongus?
Maybe. It has a timid nature, though, so that helps as well.
I think it hits 79 speed at level 50, which isn't, like, nothing.
No.
It will outspeed, like, Slowpoke.
But for those of you that don't know, Friend Guard makes it so that your allies take 25% less damage.
Yup.
Which is a great ability. It really is, just not on anything that's that good outside of Jigglypuff.
It's on Clefairy, too.
And to further protect your allies, you get Ally Switch, Thunder Wave to slow down and possibly stop the opponent, Protect, because sometimes you want to live yourself, and then Perish Song, because sometimes you want other people to die.
Oh, okay, so I looked up the speed, and Jigglypuff does not outspeed Lapras at max speed. It underspeeds by 1.
Wow.
So anything slower than Lapras, it outspeeds.
Yeah.
So anything base 59 and below.
Fantastic. Speaking of Lapras, the second member of our team is a G-Max Lapras, with the ability Shell Armor, holding Light Clay, with max HP, max special attack, 4 defense, and a modest nature. It is rocking the moves Freeze Dry, Hydro Pump, Fissure, and Protect. And I'm guessing Fissure is so you can get a G-Max Ground move off and raise the special defense of all your team. You can hit those pesky electric types that are bothering you, and it's, you know, a good, you know, Hail Mary.
It's a one-hit KO move.
Exactly.
There are certain times where your options of winning the game are hit this 30% move. And, you know, it's nice to have that.
It's like a double protect.
Yeah, it's roughly the same as a double protect. Like, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing.
Then in the middle, we have Metagross with an Assault Vest, Clear Body, 252 HP, 252 Attack, 4 Special Defense, Adamant Nature, Bullet Punch, Stomping Tantrum, Thunder Punch. That says Bullet Punch twice on my list, but it probably is like Meteor Mash.
Oh.
Yes.
Probably.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, Metagross is there just to take hits. The theme of the team is take hits. Survive. Because the longer you survive, the better things go. Especially with Jigglypuff. The way we played it was, if you get rid of 2 things on their team, and you bring in Jigglypuff and click Parasong, you just have to survive 3 turns. And you win.
Yeah.
Which is how we win games. So this is just Assault Vest Metagross that can go big if you don't want to bring Lapras. And just, you know, live hits, deal damage, raise your defenses.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our restricted mon, being one of the stallier restricted mons in Zygarde. Leftovers with the ability Power Construct, which means when its HP is below half, right? Is it half?
Its HP, like, doubles again.
Yeah, yes. It, like, doubles again, and he goes into full-form father mode.
Yeah.
It gets a little slower. It gets a little bulkier.
A little bulkier? I still Very have bulky. Nightmares from the time Seth Viola used this against me. Oh, gosh.
But Zygarde has 252 HP, 4 defense, 252 special defense, careful nature, 1,000 arrows, your only attacking move that you need, substitute, coil, and protect. This thing wants to just sit there and survive hits. It works great if you can get a Jigglypuff to parasong something. Your Jigglypuff will faint. Zygarde comes in and you can set up. Or you can set up alongside Jigglypuff. And what are they going to do to you?
Nothing.
Because they're never going to attack with Jigglypuff. That's why you ally switch. And it, like, it works really, really well.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's appropriate that Zygarde is not the Pokemon of the episode because it didn't even get its own game.
No, it didn't get its own game, so it doesn't deserve it. It doesn't even have its own song. How can we even let it be a Pokemon of the episode?
Right.
Right.
Sorry, little buddy. Anyways, we clean up the team with, like, your staple Pokemon on a VGC team. We have Incineroar with the Figgy Berry and Intimidate because it's an Incineroar. Max HP, 100 in defense, 156 in special defense. It's just a bulky boy. I'm sure those numbers mean something. Sassy nature because we're running mixed offenses with Flare Blitz and Snarl. You have Fake Out because we're in an Incineroar. And we have Parting Shot because we're in an Incineroar. Fun times.
Mm-hmm.
And then last slot is a G-Max Rillaboom because it's just a really good Pokemon.
Yeah.
Holding a Miracle Seed, but if you don't have a Miracle Seed and you're trying to build this team for yourself for some reason, you could run in Rose Incense because I believe it's the exact same thing.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you can buy those. It's weird. In this game, you have to steal, like, the boosting items for the starters or get lucky and buy them in the market. But
wow.
Rose Incense and Wave Incense do the same thing and you can buy them. So.
Yeah.
Anyways. Grassy Surge, max HP, max attack, little bit in defense, adamant nature. Standard Grassy Glide and Fake Out, less standard, Knock Off and Taunt. Rillaboom has like 10 moves that it wants to use, so.
Mm.
I think everything on this team has max HP besides Jigglypuff.
Yes. It's hilarious.
So, like, the team is meant to live hits and, like, stall. You have Fake Out. So that's what I'm saying. With the Parasong strategy, something goes down. All right, cool. Incineroar comes in, like, after parting, shotting out, fakes out something. Now they can't break your sash and kill Jigglypuff. Yeah. So, like, and then you get to protect on every other turn. And you can alternate between different mons. And it becomes a very annoying team to actually break. And Rillaboom is useful specifically for Trick Room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it can taunt. Yeah, it can taunt. And you can even have Incineroar as well. Like, Incineroar was, like, critical to our team.
Rillaboom handles, like, Dusclops really well.
Yeah.
With Knock Off and Taunt, yeah.
Yeah, in that matchup, you just bring Incineroar, Rillaboom as your lead, and they can follow me all they want, but you're gonna... Doesn't Fake Out go first, or no?
Fake Out is a +3, Follow Me is +2.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So Fake Out will stop the Follow Me, and suddenly it's taunted, and now he's gone. And now, what's it gonna do?
Yeah. This is absurd and majestic at the same time.
Yeah, check out the Poke of the Episode. It is a lot of fun to watch. McGee and I have a blast on stream. We get bits every time we hit Fisher. It was great.
That sounds amazing. Well, we wait for the episode to actually come out on our YouTube channel. I think we can move on to our last segment, the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. This segment, as always, is brought to you by our extremely fictional sponsor, Green Taurus, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
That was amazing. So every week we give you an email prompt. You can answer that prompt. You can write in about anything you like, as long as you do it, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Your email may be read on the show, or sometimes it may end up in the extended mailbag segment when we manage to get around to do it. Our first email today is from... They didn't really give us another name, so I'm going to call her Brianna. Brianna writes, "Happy 25th Pokeversary, Puckle Crew. I hope you are all doing well." Thank you, we hope you're doing well too. "I was wondering if any of you are doing anything to celebrate Pokemon's birthday. I started a new Nuzlocke on the 27th, so yes. What about you guys?"
I played some Pokemon.
I watched that concert.
I didn't watch the concert.
Hmm. Was it any good?
It was weird. It was weird.
Okay.
It was fun to look at.
It was nice to look at. There was Vibing Umbreon. Vibing Umbreon was cool.
Vibing Umbreon, I've seen. It's everywhere.
I liked Vibing Umbreon.
Yeah.
And the clouds. The clouds are cool.
Yeah. I, for one, am going through Gen 4 in my goal to complete the National Dex in every gen. I previously wrote to you about nearly being done with my Gen 3 run, and after some time off of Pokemon games and some real-life stuff preventing me from playing, I found a way to be able to continue my Master Quest. Well, good luck on your quest. On to the topic. We all knew the Diamond and Pearl remakes were coming. It was a matter of when. I, for one, really enjoy the art style. Sure, it's not what everyone expected, but I think it's a safe choice. As others have said, my worry is how faithful it is to the original. And aside from the quality of life from the last four gens, if there is going to be extra content. Oh, these are great questions. The same ones we had.
It's almost like we had a topic about this today.
I mean, it's like a very fair topic.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think this will be better than Heart Gold and Soul Silver. I mean, what could possibly be? Nothing. But I would like an extra area or a new story beat. Maybe in the post-game there could be something that can tie into Pokemon Legends Arceus. I would like that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Very interesting. Either way, I'll still get them and they'll be fine, but I'm not the biggest Gen 4 fan, so I don't have the nostalgia for it to be upset with if it's just a one-for-one remake. Just slightly disappointed. See, that's pretty much my perspective. Like, worst case scenario, I might get a Sinnoh game that is not so slow that I forget it while I'm playing it. Pokemon Legends Arceus, on the other hand, looks very interesting. An open-world Pokemon game is nearly upon us? This clearly has to be in response to how well-received the wild area is. Possibly. I don't know that they could have, like, thought of it in response to the reception of the wild area. I think the wild area was a trial run.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's try this out.
Yeah.
I think the wild area worked okay for what it was. It definitely needs improvements going forward, but...
Yeah, but, like, in the DLC, it worked really well.
Oh yeah, DLC showed me that they know the direction they're taking.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the cave system in Crown Tundra is probably one of the better ones we've had in games for the past few generations. So,
like, it actually makes sense.
Right?
Yeah. I usually don't get into speculation about things and what the story could be, but with Dialga and Palkia and how time travel could be involved, one thing I noticed is they say you are on a quest to fill out Sinnoh's first Pokédex for a certain professor. What are the chances it could be a time-displaced Professor Oak? Maybe a young Oak? I could be reading too much into it because they didn't name the professor. And thinking too much about the time-space dynamics the Box Legends offer, but that could be a great reveal. So, I love this idea. I do think that whenever they use certain in a trailer, it's just a translation from the Japanese, where that word doesn't have the same exception that it does in English. But still, it's an interesting thought. And I would love, like, if the professor had something going on besides being a professor. Like, there's so much stuff that you can do with a prequel, and I hope they don't, like, squander that potential. Beyond Pokemon Legends, what could this mean for the future of the series? Could Gen 9 have an open world where you could battle any gym leader you want and have them scale to the number of badges you have? That's something I've wanted since Pokemon Origins, where Brock chose his Pokemon based on the fact that Red didn't have any badges yet. Oh, that would be...
Yeah, that was cool. Giovanni did the same thing, didn't it? Like...
I don't remember, probably.
Yeah. That's an interesting concept that I think could be implemented. It's just, unless they put, like, a hard level cap...
Hmm...
You can become overpowered way too easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit weird.
I feel like you could do it for, like, a segment of three gyms. It's like, depending on how many badges you have, each gym has its own difficulty. That way you're not making eight different teams. You're only making, like, three.
I don't know. Like, it would be extremely hard to balance, but it would be extremely cool if they actually managed to pull it off.
Yeah, I think that's the only issue, is balancing the game at that point.
Anyway. And could Legends be a new series of titles they do for different regions? I think so.
I hope so.
Simply because it's not called Pokemon Arceus or Pokemon Legend of Arceus. It's called Pokemon Legends, subtitle, Arceus. That immediately implies that it's a series, and it's something I'm really excited about, because if Sinnoh is the region that I care the least about, it can only get better from here.
I mean, there are a lot of cool stories they could explore, like...
Yeah.
The Burning of Brass Tower.
Oh, that's what she says. She says, most regions have their own interesting mythology that would be great to see, like how the tower burned down, and Lugia relocating to Whirl Island, and seeing the original version of the mythical beasts, or the Musketeer Pokemon in action, saving Pokemon from, you know, that fire in the forest and the humans and stuff. Maybe even the Pokemon War in Kalos. Oh.
Ooh.
The origins of the Tapus, the possibilities with this series are there, and I'm interested in seeing where it's going. Take care and enjoy your week. Wow.
I actually made that joke earlier this week, Pokemon Legends Floette.
I would buy 5 copies of that.
Right?
You don't even know. I would scream with joy if they announced that.
Oh, Floette would be so fun.
Ooh.
I'm the only person on Earth who actually enjoyed the Gen 6 plot.
I thought it was fine.
I liked the games.
Team Flare was just garbage.
Yeah.
It's like, it's an amazing plot, like an absolutely amazing plot with the most abysmal pacing in history. But it's an amazing plot. Anyway, thank you for this great email, Brianna. We're going to move on to Pegasus, I believe.
Yes. Hey, y'all, I go by Pegasus. I've been listening for about 4 years now, but just recently joined the Discord server. Well, okay. Thanks for joining. I'm very excited for both games. But I think the better way to put it would be anxious. I'm hoping that BDSP, I will never get used to that, is not just a copy and paste of the original, and that it gets the ORAS treatment. Like something like the Delta episode with new forms. I'm hoping for the same thing.
Yeah, the thing is, like, we were thinking about the Arceus episode, and now that's an entire other game. So
I think, like, the Shaman episode sounds
I would
good.
Like the Shaman episode, or as they said last week, the Darkrai and Cresselia episode.
I feel like, yeah, Darkrai seems like the easier one, just because it's related to a Pokemon that's already in the game, right?
Well, you have the area in the game already for Shaman too, so they might just have, like, a legendary episode. With all of them, which I'd be okay
They could do both, and I'd be perfectly okay with that. It's Manaphy and Arceus I could see being, like, tied to, hey, if you have data on Legends Arceus, it gives you the Azure Flute. That would be a cool way of doing it.
I can totally see there being some sort of tie back into the game. Like
it's
that.
Like, oh, we read your game data.
They could do a DLC for the
they
stuff.
Could. Yeah.
I don't think you need DLC for that, though, because...
Yeah. It's just the item.
You don't need it, but they might want to sell it to you.
I mean, they're already making enough money selling such a small game.
Exactly, but, you know, such is the way of the world.
Seeing the new Megas from ORS added so much excitement to those games and allowed us to get new Pokemon without actually getting new Pokemon.
Fair.
I think that adding in mechanics from the current generation shows a connection between the two regions. Example, like Johto Sinnoh, Hoenn Kalos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
I personally think the reveal cycle of BDSP will be extremely boring if nothing new is added to the games. Correct.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think by Faithful Remix, they meant more along the lines of how the game looks and the areas in the game staying most of the same. A lot of people are talking faithfully too seriously. They're going to want to build hype around the game, and that's not possible without having anything new.
I think that's part of Arceus coming out so quickly after it, though.
Yeah.
It's like, there's not a year between Diamond and Pearl and Arceus, right? There's probably like 5-6 months. They know the one that people are going to be excited about, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I noticed that we haven't seen the box art, and I think we could get new forms of Dialga and Palkia on the box. I think we already have Primal Dialga somewhere.
Technically, it's a mistranslation of Evil Dialga, but yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm also excited for Legends Arceus. But since this is the first of its kind, I'm trying not to come up with too many ideas about it, because we have no idea what the game could be. Anyways, what are y'all's thoughts on new forms for these games and an expanded story for Giratina? Ooh, the Giratina episode.
Mm. I could see that. That the Turnback Cave is not a good dungeon.
No, but the Distortion World was great. And that'd be
the
cool.
The Distortion World was amazing. And now it's actually in 3D.
I would be very disappointed if it were Turnback Cave and not Distortion World.
Yeah.
No.
Anyways, thank you all for making my week better every time I listen. I wish everyone the best.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Thank you, Pegasus. I believe we got one more email.
Yes. Yeah. And it's from Bam.
Bam. Hello, Puckle Crew. Bam here with my thoughts on the Pokemon Day presentation. I want to start with Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Thank you for saying Shining Pearl, because I'm not getting that one, and I actually don't remember what the S stands for in the
I always want to, like, switch them around for some reason.
Mm-hmm. My eyes are on Diamond. I could care less what Pearl is called. I just call it Pearl Remake or SP.
See, I'm in the debate because Palkia's my favorite legendary, but Skuntank would only be in Diamond.
Oh. Ooh. I'll trade you a Skuntank.
I might have to take you up on that offer.
All right, moving on though. But actually, with my fiance's thoughts, it turns out that she is the target audience for these remakes. She is a very casual player that played a lot of Pokemon Pearl back in grade school and loves any game with the chibi art style. She freaked out when I showed her pictures of what the remake looks like.
Huh. This is interesting.
I played a lot of Diamond back in the day. That's when I first started breeding Pokemon for
Yeah, Canada. Same.
But without IVs, it was mostly like, I need the nature. I need the nature.
Oh, I that's when I first learned about IV breeding. And I remember going up and down Salacia Town? Or?
Yeah, just up and down that path.
That route.
Quicksand. Oh.
By the way, speaking of Salacia Town, I saw a post on Tumblr that was like a screenshot of an NPC in that town saying, years and years ago, there was just one road going through here and then the houses started collecting. That's probably the village from Legends Arceus. It's that town.
The other thing I remember is in Fugo Ironworks, if you like held, I used to tape down like the down arrow and then just go back and forth on the little like spinny like platforms and leave two Pokemon in the daycare, wake up next morning, they'd be level 100. And I'd be like, yes.
Oh, yeah. It's like the bike in, what was it, on the little slidey slips in Gen 3?
Or in Gen 6 when you could just press, like, the down right with, like, a penny underneath your stylus and it would just go in a circle forever.
Yeah.
Oh, good times with those games. Good times. So, what are my thoughts on BDSP? I do not mind the art style. I would have preferred it to be in the art style of Octopath Traveler or Bravely Default 2, but I am fine with what we have. I started playing Pokemon in Generation 2, but it was Generation 3 when I really got into the franchise. I remember being so hyped to go to the store and pick up Pearl when it first came out, and getting that Palkia stylus pen was way too big. Yes, it was. My poor Dialga's tail broke off. It was so heavy. Oh, I remember that. I stopped playing Pokemon around the time Gen 5 came out. But every once in a while, I would start a new playthrough of Pearl, and I think that is the only reason I decided to come back to Pokemon in Gen 6. So long story short, I am very nostalgic for these remakes.
Aww.
I am scared that these games will literally just be Diamond and Pearl, but on the Switch. But I am excited nonetheless. I'm actually okay if that's what ends up happening, because
Same.
Diamond and Pearl are so heavily dependent on the stylists in their games that they need just a straight up remake on the Switch. That ends up what happens, right? Like, you can't port Diamond and Pearl. Like,
no.
That's just not doable. You can port Gens 3 and earlier. You can port Gen 5 too. Like, they stopped using the touchscreen in that game for some reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't as necessary. But Diamond and Pearl, like, really cared about that stylus.
Yeah.
So it needs the remake to fit on the Switch.
They were like very excited to be on the DS.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same with like Heart Gold, Soul Silver with the Pokéathlon.
Oh,
like so
gosh.
Much stylus work. So much stylus work.
Yeah.
However, there are three things that I want the games to fix at a minimum. First one is to make the games faster. Yes, please.
Please. Please. Please.
I assume this is a given, but until I see the HP bar on a Blissey drop to zero, I am putting this on my wish list.
Seconded.
Yeah, please. Secondly, I want them to improve the decks. The Diamond and Pearl decks is easiest, the worst decks we have ever had. I think if they add the Platinum decks with all the dual slot Pokemon, then the decks will start to look a lot better. Yeah, that's like 210 Pokemon, which is perfectly fine for a game. Like,
yes.
Yep.
Especially a remake that's not adding newer Pokemon. Like, 210 is the perfect size. That's the same number that Oras had too, so.
I don't even mind 400, like.
400's not bad. I like 400 for, like, new games.
Yeah.
I think 200 to 250 is good for a remake.
Yeah, it's fair. It's very fair.
Lastly, I want them to remove HMs.
Yes.
I think we all do.
I do not know how they will do it, and I do not care. But I want BDSP to make it so I don't have to go back and play the DS versions of the game, unless I miss the sprites. One way to do that is to completely remove HMs, so I don't have to use Bidoof on every playthrough of the game.
Bidoof! That's right!
Because it gets, like, all
best
8 or something.
The HM slave ever!
It learns, like, 4 or 5 of them, like...
Yeah, because it devolves into a water type.
Yep, it gets Waterfall, Surf, it gets... I think it gets Rock Climb.
Think it does.
That brings up the question in my mind is, are they going to give us the EXP share?
Yeah, right?
Probably.
I expect it.
I would love that. That would save me so much grinding.
Yeah.
I had a lot to say about BDSP, so I will keep my thoughts on Legends quick. The main thing I want to say is that people keep talking about how innovative the game is and how TPCI is taking a big step forward. This just confuses me. The only thing we know so far is that the game is the wild area, with the ability to throw Pokeballs and seamless transitions into battle. Now, the games do not come out for another year, so I expect there to be a lot of new and interesting stuff, but we have no idea. I'm not too big of a fan of open-world games, so what I am excited about is the story. A story in the past that involves Arceus sounds amazing. I really hope they include a part of the story about how Spiritomb was made.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The most exciting part about Legends is that they fixed Cyndaquil, and it has its flames on the whole time.
Yes!
But it doesn't need to have flames on the whole time. That's its whole point.
Yeah, but the XY sprite, it was so sad.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Yeah. Oh, I know, but it should be on and off. Like, when he attacks, it should be on. And so.
We don't like to talk about Derpy Typhlosion. Derpy Typhlosion is a sad thing.
I mean...
Anyways, sorry for rambling on so long, but I have a lot of excitement for the next year of Pokemon. Keep up the great work. Bam!
Thank you, Bam. Oh, wow. These were, like, really good emails. I personally have a preference for the Green Taurus badge, but I want to hear from you guys first.
I kind of like the first one that you read.
Same. I wanted to give it to Brianna. So that's 2 votes out of 3, and that's enough. Brianna, you win the Green Taurus badge, you can come to our Discord server, and you can join the Green Taurus badge gang. We have way too many gangs on the server. It sounds like an unseemly place, and it's really not. But anyway, as usual, if you want more Puckly goodness in your life, the first and foremost thing you should do, if you haven't already, is join our Discord server. We hang out there, we chat, we have tournaments, we have trades, we have battles, we have clubs, gangs, and everything else you could possibly wish for from a Discord server. There's a link in the show notes that you can follow to sign up for the server. Another thing you can do is follow us on YouTube, subscribe there, and see all the videos that these amazing guys are putting out. The Pokemon of the Episode battles are just one of the things we do there, so you should subscribe to make sure you lose none of our content. Also, we usually stream on Twitch at least twice a week. The handle there is ThePucklePodcast, because there was a snafu at some point in our history. We are PucklePodcast, just plain PucklePodcast everywhere else, and you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, even on Tumblr. If you're like me and you go there, I don't recommend it, but you can. And if all of this is not enough for you, and you want even more, and you think we should do more, and you want to help us do more, you can join our Patreon. It's at patreon.com/bucklepodcast. There's various tiers you can support us at, and you get different perks at the different tiers, like giveaways, there's access to a special chat on the Discord and all that. Also, Thatch's undying love and affection. But that's only at the highest tier.
Yes.
Sorry, Thatch. I'm selling you out while you're not here. I'm a bad person.
He won't even listen to this. It's fine.
He's not going to listen to the segment. It's fine.
If you don't think he listens to every single episode that he's on, you're deluding yourself. He's very serious about this. But anyway.
I mean, there was a precedent for him to have to check that the episodes didn't go awry when he wasn't here.
I mean, it's a very fair worry on his part. I hope we did okay enough, but...
I think he doesn't have to worry about us.
No.
No, we're well behaved, like some other people. But anyway...
We just have a little bit more fun when when Papa's away, the kids will play.
Yup.
We didn't even need a censorship in this one. It's fine.
Yet.
Wow, go us. We're so polite. And speaking of politeness, it is time for us to take our leave. I have been the fluffiest Whimsicott.
I've been our Sigma.
And I've been Claude Nine.
And here in the wonderful Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's once again closing time.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Goodbyes, it's closing time. Farewell, my friends. I'll catch you on the flip side.
Burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.